I'm sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. No short.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl.
Today's show is going to focus on the 28 pages of the Joint Congressional Inquiry. Many of us in the 9/11 Truth Movement feel that the current effort underway now by former Senator Bob Graham and several current congressmen like Walter Jones to declassify the 28 redacted pages of the 2002 Congressional Joint Inquiry into 9/11 is really a red herring, a psyop, a strategy, a manipulation, some sort of limited hangout to influence current geopolitics while at the same time reinforcing the official conspiracy theory about what happened on 9/11, which if you've been listening to this show, you know is a total fabrication. Most of us in the 9/11 Truth Movement don't oppose the declassification of the 28 pages, but many of us are also concerned about the way some in the 9/11 Truth Movement have been touting the official story as a way to get these 28 pages declassified. Because of our concerns, several of us got together and created our own website, which you can find at 28pagesrevealed.info. And you can also use .com or .net or .org, I think. You'll also get there. Today I'm joined on the show by two like-minded people who have similar concerns. First, we have Ken Freeland. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hi, sir.
Ken is a founding member of the Houston 9/11 Truth Group and is also a facilitator of the monthly 9/11 Truth and Other Deep State Crimes teleconference. And also joining me is Nita Renfrew from New York. Welcome, Nita.
Yes, hi. Nice to be here.
Nita Renfrew has worked in public affairs at the highest levels of government internationally and was later a journalist specializing in national security, Central America, and the Middle East. She was the U.S. correspondent for the Spanish edition of Le Monde Diplomatique. So it's really great to have both of you on the show. So one of my concerns about the way many are describing the 28 pages is that they say it will give us the truth about what happened on 9/11. The Joint Congressional Inquiry, in my opinion, is a limited fraudulent investigation and was only tasked with looking into intelligence failures. And they just accepted the government version of the 19 Middle Eastern men with box cutters. That whole story is so full of holes, but is still being passed off as the truth. So every time they discuss the 28 pages in the news, it reinforces the fraudulent official conspiracy theory, only now they add that the Saudis did it. They leave out any mention of controlled demolition and that many of the alleged hijackers are still alive. Do either of you two want to respond or add anything to that?
Well, I'd like to say that the whole allegation that it was the Saudis goes back to the neocons soon after 9/11. And parallel with the neocons, the LaRouche organization began to come out with its version of it was the Saudis. And, of course, with them, it's always the Queen of England and Britain and the Saudis. And so it's important to know that it dates back to neocon publications. And on our website, we have an excellent article, which is Who Are the Neoconservatives?, written by the French historian Laurent Guillenot. And I would urge everybody to go to the website and read this article because it basically explains the history of the neocons and how it leads up to their basically wanting us to invade Iraq in the 1990s and their PNAC manifesto, which we'll get into later, I guess, which is relevant to this, and the fact that they began blaming the Saudis early on after 9/11. So I see this as it's sort of a revival of that. It was obviously built into the report so that they could bring it out as a red herring. And I think that, you know, the best description of what it is was given by Barbara Honegger at the Left Forum presentation that you organized, Cheryl. And I urge everyone to see that, too. The link is also on the website. And, you know, just take it from there.
Yeah, she did a really great job of that. I agree. Actually, I aired an edited and shortened version of her powerful presentation a few weeks ago on the show, and you can find that at radioforall.net. And of course, as Nita mentioned, it's on our website, 28pagesrevealed.info. Ken, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, I think, well, a couple of things. First of all, some illustrious writer, and I don't remember who it was, opined early on in the 9/11 truth movement's history that there were several fallback positions that had already been created in the event that the government's official version started wearing thin. And this was to blame 9/11 on other external actors other than Osama bin Laden and the 19 hijackers. One of these was Saudi Arabia, another was Pakistan. There were several others in the mix. And I think we are seeing that that prophecy has sort of been manifested in what we've seen in the news of late. The other thing, just briefly, the I think that Cheryl mentioned in the introduction here of the Congressional Joint Inquiry was not to discover the causes of 9/11. It was to highlight the causes of the so-called intelligence failure. And if we dwell on that for a minute, we realize that the intelligence failure itself is a red herring, because if 9/11 was indeed, to some extent, an inside job, there was no failure involved at all. It was actually, what would we say, a deliberate misfeasance on the part of the so-called intelligence community, if you don't mind the oxymoron there, that's very popular. So bearing that in mind, what can we expect to find in the 28 pages? Well, there may, in fact, be some threads there that can be pulled and lead to other threads and so forth and so on that might ultimately reveal more truth about 9/11 than the perpetrators would like to have revealed. But that's a big if, given the original purpose of the congressional investigation.
Right, and they're getting so much mileage out of blaming it on the Saudis and reinforcing the official conspiracy theory in people's minds as they go about that. So, yeah. So that brings me to the next point. And why now? Why are they all of a sudden, almost 15 years later, bringing out these 28 pages and Saudi involvement? Has the 9/11 truth movement been doing such a great job that they're getting nervous and they've got to kind of take the blame away from the real perpetrators? Or what do you think's going on here?
Well, it's kind of a big subject, but again, we look at the current geopolitical developments, the strain in relations with Saudi Arabia, the back-and-forth cat-and-mouse game being played by Obama and the representatives of Saudi Arabia, and this certainly represents a political football of pretty immense magnitude that could be thrown around to make the mix a little more volatile and bring about political leverage as needed. So there's always that possibility, to state the more obvious, but there are others, I'm sure. Anita, do you have any thoughts on it?
Well, I think that it's been almost 15 years now since 9/11, and during that time, a lot of evidence, pretty good circumstantial evidence, has surfaced pointing to Israel and the neoconservatives in this country. And I think that it's possible that they pulled out the Saudi thing because they felt that there was too much focus on what maybe really did happen, and they pulled out this prepared thing. Now, you know, the problem with, and here comes the whole thing, you know, when we talk about the 9/11 truth movement, I personally think that we need to get away from the idea of the 9/11 truth movement, because I think that, you know, there are a lot of people who are behaving like infiltrators in leadership positions in the 9/11 truth movement, and particularly I'm in New York City, and I see this happening in New York City, and I think that it's sort of a self-defeating purpose. It's self-defeating to want to maintain unity, because why would you want to maintain unity with the same people that are trying to pull down the real search for the truth? Personally, I'm perfectly willing, if I see evidence, I'm perfectly willing to believe that Saudi Arabia carried out this whole operation and that they were able to gain access to the World Trade Center and to the Pentagon and place explosives in there and so on. If I see some evidence, I'm not closed to it, but there's a lot more evidence that Israel was involved with it and their allies here in the United States, which Barbara Honegger points to, and she points out in her Behind the Smoke Curtain, which everybody should watch, and it's also linked on the website.
And again, that website is 28pagesrevealed.info.
And everybody should watch that, because she has a whole section where she says who was behind it, and she describes the neocons and the positions they held during the Bush administration and so on. So clearly this 28 pages was focused on the Saudi, the campaign that's being run, especially out of New York City, which is ground zero, which is, makes it very important, is taking the attention away from that and putting it on Saudi Arabia, which, you know, may or may not have had any kind of a role in it. It appears now that it was a role maybe in the cover-up, which doesn't mean that they knew that they were being part of a cover-up. I mean, I doubt that they would have said to them, look, you know, you're going to pay for a cover-up. And, you know, Saudi Arabia, it's well documented that they have been giving blank checks to the United States for black operations, to the CIA and other organizations here for many years without participating in them. So the way I see it is, you know, they would have maybe given money, maybe they just gave a blank check to the U.S. government and saw it as protection money from the mob. So I think that the fact that they're bringing the Saudi connection out now would indicate that there's enough evidence coming out to show that it was indeed certain persons within the U.S. government and think tanks and so on that were behind it, and namely the neocons and their fellow travelers, and Israel.
Right, and if you look at the Saudi involvement, what their supposedly their connection is that they funded two of the alleged hijackers, and one of those two was known to be alive after 9/11. So, you know, that's also another interesting point, which former Senator Bob Graham and the people pushing for the 28 pages declassification don't mention. So that's also very interesting. And then there's also Senator Bob Graham and Porter Goss, who were the two heads of the Congressional Joint Inquiry, were having breakfast on the morning of 9/11 with the head of the Pakistani ISI, their intelligence agency, which works very close with the CIA. And he actually had money sent to Mohammed Atta and had to resign from his position when that came out, I think, in the Indian press. So no one's pointing any finger at the Pakistanis. And I find that very interesting. I was reading in a book by Paul Rea in his book, Mounting Evidence, that even the Pakistanis were supposedly like bribing the 9/11 commission that came out 2 years later after the joint inquiry to not include them in their report and their involvement in it. So, but nobody's even talking about that.
Well, what would the Pakistani motive be any more than the Saudis? I mean, they were doing the CIA's work also. And Mohammed Atta was apparently alive afterwards, and his father said in an interview that, you know, that if they wanted to find him, to call the Mossad. And I've seen quite a few articles that document his ongoing relationship with the CIA over the years and the fact that he was not religious. And there again, he's an alleged hijacker who was alive after the alleged hijacking.
Right. And both Saudi Arabia and Pakistan have very little to gain from pulling off a 9/11. So I guess the point I was making is that the media and the government are really fine-tuning where they're taking this, and there's an agenda there. And that,
definitely.
Yeah, and I guess that takes us to my next thought or question, which is...
The next question I wanted to comment on, Porter Goss and Bob Graham. There's an old saying, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. And this gets back to the point I think Nita was making earlier about the suspicious nature of the way in which this whole 28 pages is being presented by people who, as members of the 9/11 truth community, ought to know better. But both Graham and Goss, as you mentioned, have this original connection with some of the people who are involved, at least tangentially, with 9/11. And Porter Goss, in particular, has a very, very deep, shady, spooky background that we've depicted to some degree on our website, 28pagesrevealed.info. But I hope we can enrich that further, because his connection with the CIA goes way, 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 way back. In fact, some people place him as far back as the Fordy Committee, which some people claim was involved in the JFK assassination. So, in any case, these are shady characters from the word go, both of them. And to consider these as being the spearheads of a movement behind which the truth movement is supposed to unify itself, all the while presenting the official story as the key to understanding 9/11 is a very, 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 very telling, in my view, about whatever it is that these people are trying to accomplish. But it's not revealing the causes and the perpetrators of 9/11. Nothing else. I don't know what it is, but it's not that.
Right. It's a very big distraction from all the real research that the 9/11 Truth Movement has gathered over the last 15 years.
And if I could add one more thing, if we look at this in perspective, yeah, it would be nice to know what's in those 28 pages, particularly because it would prevent some of the folks in the press and other places from making innuendos about what might be in there as if it were definitely in there. But more importantly, I think we could just compare it to, say, for example, the content of the Pentagon security cameras.
I mean, from the standpoint of the 9/11 truth movement, which one is going to reveal a lot more information than we already know about what happened on 9/11?
Right.
Some obscure corner of a congressional report that wasn't even about the causes of 9/11, or some actual hard evidence about what actually did or didn't hit the Pentagon? I mean, come on.
Right. There's a lot of other information that we haven't been given that's out there that would be much more valuable and important than these 28 pages. Yeah, I agree.
I'd like to say something here about that. I think that one of the things that we need to do, those of us who really do want the truth to come out in the 9/11 truth movement, I would say that the other people probably aren't part of the 9/11 truth movement. They're just part of the 9/11 movement. But I think what we need to do is we need to compile a comprehensive list of everything that we would like to have declassified. And I would actually add, you know, there was that article in the New York Times, that front page article that showed on last Saturday, showing that there is absolutely no hard evidence linking the Saudis to 9/11. And the one thing they did mention was that consular office, who was a sheikh, Muslim sheikh at a mosque in California, they said that there were recorded conversations of him with al-Bayoumi, who he claimed was not true. So we should actually ask for those pages so we can see the telephone records. Of course, telephone records can be manufactured, but we could trace it down. I think that if we had a comprehensive list of everything that we do want classified, we could find, and this, I'm saying this from my public affairs background, we could find some allies in Washington, in the government and in the Congress and the Senate, and try to push that and get some public notice of that in a more comprehensive manner. And I'm sure we would find some allies down there. I'm sure there are people who say, yes, the 28 pages, but let's get more.
Just
right.
To clarify, you mean everything we want declassified, right?
Everything we want declassified.
That's a really great idea, and I hope we can add that to our website. I hope we can really create that and add it to our website. And getting back to something else that you had said earlier, both of you alluded to, is, you know, we have this group in the 9/11 Truth Movement who are working sort of with the government on this, working with Senator Bob Graham, or former Senator Bob Graham, and they're kind of repeating the official story in order to do this. And you mentioned infiltration, and we know we're infiltrated. I mean, we've had Cass Sunstein, who was in the government working under Obama, talk about how to infiltrate us, et cetera. He talked about cognitive infiltration. So this could be an example of that. And, you know, we don't know for certain, but we know we're infiltrated. So I think we need to keep that in mind and be aware of that.
Well, if we're infiltrated, what's the most important place? That's New York City, because this is where 9/11 took place. And the people who organize the functions here and everything, in the last 9/11 full day of talks and so on here, at which you were present, Cheryl, Barbara Honegger and Wayne Madison, who were both present, both were given explicit instructions that they could not mention Israel as a condition for participating in this whole day conference. And when you look at who's giving those instructions and why those instructions, you have to say, well, you know, if these people are not infiltrators, they're behaving like infiltrators. And one of the things that happens is that sometimes infiltrators actually get a hold of other people and who are unwitting parties to the infiltration. And, for instance, I see a lot of reliance on the advice coming out of the LaRouche group in their claims that it was Saudi Arabia and that the 28 pages is going to reveal everything, and they're backing the families that are trying to sue Saudi Arabia for damages. And you really got to ask, what is going on and why are people accepting conditions like this in order to present? Well, the reason people are accepting is because it's like, you know, when there are only a certain amount of forums around, you want to at least be able to get out what you can get out. But I think that this is clear evidence that there's infiltration at that level.
I think it's very difficult to prove positively that someone or some group is a perpetrator. Well, I think it's relatively easy to allay suspicion, and the way that that's done is by looking at how much 9/11 truth they're actually divulging. So if we take a look, for example, at the HR14.org website, okay, and we look on it, that's a website that claims to be promoting, well, it actually is promoting the 28 pages declassification. But we look on it for evidence of 9/11 truth, and we don't find any there, okay? I mean, there are some basic understandings in the 9/11 truth movement that dispute and repudiate the official conspiracy theory. And we just don't find any evidence of that anywhere on that website. And I think that that is a telling sign of
something going on other than 9/11 truth. I can't say it's positive proof of infiltration or a subversive effort of our movement, but it certainly is saving somebody a lot of money who right. wants to accomplish those purposes, okay?
Right, and it really harms the 9/11 truth movement, I think. Also, if one goes to that website and looks at it today, they've actually tried to beef it up a little because of our complaints over the last year. They've tried to make it look a little bit more like a 9/11 truth website, but it isn't. And they still didn't accomplish that very well, but it's like one slight hair better than it was a year ago. Yeah, good points. I also wanted to talk briefly about the confusion generated by this focus on the 28 redacted pages from the Congressional Joint Inquiry Report. First, former Senator Bob Graham says it implicates the Saudis in 9/11. Then some of the 9/11 commissioners who wrote the 9/11 Commission Report, which came out 2 years after the Congressional Joint Inquiry Report, and supposedly looked into the Saudi connection to 9/11, saying that what's in the 28 redacted pages from the Joint Congressional Inquiry is actually in the 9/11 Commission Report, and they found no evidence linking the Saudis to 9/11. And that's just one example of some of the confusion around these 28 pages. So what's going on here? Is this intentionally created confusion?
Well, I think this is the kind of problem we end up with when vital information is withheld in the first place. There's absolutely no reason why this should ever have been declassified. And let's remember that Bob Graham was part of the congressional body that was involved in the classification of it in the first place. So I think this kind of confusion is inevitable when something is secret and then there's all kinds of curiosity about it. Also, there have been rumors from some of the people that supposedly know the truth that all the information in the 28 pages is unvetted and therefore unreliable. So we've heard that little report too. So again, how much of our money, how much of the 9/11 truth movement's money do we want to bet on this pig in the poke? You know, it's really, really questionable.
Right. And I think it's really important to repeat again that both the Joint Congressional Inquiry and the 9/11 Commission report were very flawed, controlled, almost worthless investigations. So anything in them should be taken with grain of salt, a question mark. And much of the information they gathered was through torture, which we know isn't reliable. So I think that needs to be said. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that either of you would like to bring up?
Yeah, I guess I'd just like to reemphasize the point I just made. A real problem with all of this that takes us a little bit beyond looking at this issue is just this whole question of classification in the first place. And, you know, the theory of a republic like we supposedly live in is that the people have the right to all the information they need to make intelligent political decisions. And we're essentially being denied that information left and right. So that in itself is a major issue that needs to be addressed. But, of course, that takes us beyond the question of the 9/11 truth movement. But still in all, it's something that weighs on my mind heavily a lot as I look over this issue.
Yes, it is a really serious issue. And I think that's a big reason why we in the 9/11 truth movement do what we do, to try and get the truth out about 9/11. Because many Americans are currently supporting U.S. policies and very destructive U.S. policies based on totally fraudulent information. So hopefully our new website, 28pagesrevealed.info, will help people at least get a handle on the whole 28 pages ploy that we're being manipulated with right now. And Nita, are there any final points that you'd like to make today?
Well, I'd just like to say that I think that what we need to do is, those of us who really do want to find the truth, we need to concentrate on getting declassification of the things that we know are going to, or that we believe are going to show what really happened, like what Ken mentioned, the tapes of the Pentagon. There's a whole lot of those things that could be declassified, and if those of us who really do want the truth focus on that, if we had focused on that in the way that these 28 pages campaign had been run, we'd be a lot farther ahead with the public.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'd like to see us do.
Right, that's a good point. And hopefully, as I said, we can expand that section on our website with that information. And again, that web address is 28pagesrevealed.info. It's a very user-friendly website. We've got lots of great links to articles, and there's a lot of information up there about the Joint Congressional Inquiry and those 28 pages. There's a lot of information there about Senator Bob Graham and Porter Goss, so you know their background. We've outlined our problem and why we created the website. There's a lot of information there about the Saudis and other players, and we keep expanding on it. So do check it out. Again, it's 28pagesrevealed.info. Well, thanks very much, Ken Freeland and Nita Renfrew, for being on the show today.
Thank you, Cheryl.
You're welcome, Cheryl. It's an honor.
To sum up today's discussion on the 28 pages from the Joint Congressional Inquiry of 2002, I'm going to read a few lines from an article by Professor Michelle Chusadovsky. This article can be found on our website, 28pagesrevealed.info, and here goes. The 28 pages have nothing to do with 9/11 truth. This alleged Saudi involvement in the 9/11 attacks has served to precipitate segments of the 9/11 truth movement into an erroneous and contradictory discourse. It is part of a propaganda ploy. Because Bob Graham accuses the FBI and the federal government, the 9/11 truth movement applauds without realizing that these accusations directed against the FBI are, quote, framed with a view to sustaining the mainstream 9/11 narrative. And now I'd like to tell you about our progressive movie night coming up on June 29th at 7 p.m., it'll be in the Auerbach Auditorium in Hillier Hall on the campus of the University of Hartford. And the movie we're going to be showing is called State of Mind, The Psychology of Control. That's a great film. So again, it's going to be on Wednesday, June 29th at 7 p.m. in the Auerbach Auditorium in Hillier Hall on the campus of the University of Hartford. And parking is free in Lot B. Hope to see you there. And just a reminder, 9/11 wake-up call shows are archived at the website radioforall.net, and that's the digit four, so radioforall.net. And once on the site, look under Cheryl with a C, and the show should pop up in chronological order. This concludes this edition of 9/11 wake-up call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.